Well, hallelujah. God, He is so awesome, isn't He? And how many of us every year we begin to think about all of the things in our past that we would like to change, that we would like to refine and even make better. Hallelujah. And even as we begin this brand new year, we know that God has called us for such a time as this. We have been through an amazing transition into this next decade known as the 20s. And this is, I know in the 1900s, they had the roaring 20s. I don't know what they'll call these 20s so far. I guess it was after the fact we can look back and see what we should call it. But we certainly know how important it is for us as the people of God to be able to accomplish all that He has for us to do, that we would fulfill the will of God. And so as you make your new lists out for this year, pray and ask God for the strength to see it through, to be able to follow through and accomplish the very things that God has placed on your heart to do. And let's see God do something greater as we progress through this decade, as we move from the 2020 experience through to the end of the decade, that each and every year would be better, greater, and that we would see the manifestations of God. We know that the world will do what the world is going to do. In fact, it's almost predictable, pretty well predicted what they will do. But as for us, the people of God, we also have a mission and a charge and a calling. And we want to be sure that we fulfill it so that when we stand before the Lord, He will be pleased. And we too will hear those words, well done. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done. Hallelujah. Thy good and faithful servant. And so as we begin this new year on this new Sunday of the year, January, this is the first Sunday. And look at this. I'm here pretty much alone with our tech staff as we are all in this place where this coronavirus, as many of you may have known, has one of our staff had afflicted with this, and as a result, we took the preemptive move to take everything back online for the next 10 days or so, which will be ending probably around Tuesday of this week, and we're looking forward to everyone coming back again. You know, next Sunday for sure we will all be together, but I believe in staying one step ahead of the devil. And certainly, God has enabled us to do so, and we have the ability to do this, and we will navigate this realm and overcome obstacles and move as the Holy Spirit so enables us to move, so that we can maintain victory in our walk with God, in our effectiveness in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we are starting a new theme. And our theme for this year is redirect your passion. And we are looking at this concept of getting our lives in order, getting things in order so that we can have a proper perspective. It's so important for us as the people of God to grow each and every day, each and every week or month and even year, so that we would become more and more of the people that God has called us to be, so that we can be that much more effective at accomplishing the will of God. And so our theme for the next 3 months will be redirect your passion. And this month in January, our focus will be come sit down. Come sit down. And so as we are entering into this new year, this new season of a new decade, in this new century, relatively new century. I guess it all is relevant to how old you are. But in essence, all things are new. And God has taught us that old things pass away and he makes all things new. And that's what's so exciting about serving God, is that every day is a new day. Every opportunity is a new opportunity. Every experience is new and refreshed because the Spirit of the Lord is at work in the midst of his people. I'm so glad I was brought up in a Baptist church, but I had a Pentecostal experience. Woo, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm going to tell you right now. And I'll never forget how my mother used to take us to the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International meetings down in New York City when they used to have them at the Sheraton Hotel. And we would see all kinds of presenters and speakers and teachers, and I would go to the children's ministry program where the power of God was moving mightily even among the children. Oh, hallelujah. What an experience that is to have. And I tell you, the Spirit of God changed my life. And if it wasn't for the Spirit of the Lord operating in the midst of my life, I don't even know what I would be doing right now. I don't know how I would be managing through all of this, because life in Christ is more than just having information or knowledge in your head, just religious information and teaching. It's about the move and the work of the Spirit of God in conjunction with the Word as it renews your mind and gives you a purpose and focus and direction. But the strength and the power comes from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I know this as a personal experience, and also from the testimonies of many others who have had the same experience. And so as we begin here today, I would like to open up here in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And our lead verse reads this way. It says, "Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Well, hallelujah. Well, I would like to submit to you that before Jesus even began to teach or began to explain things to his disciples, here in this passage, we see that he first came and he sat down. Sitting down has significance in the Word of God. And it has a reference to a one who is in authority, one who is in a place to receive, one who is in a position to be a blessing and to present an offering to those who are sitting with them. And we see this throughout Scripture, and we know how important it is to be able to just sit down. You and I have been called as the people of God to be the people that he has called us to be, so that we might be able to learn and grow and accomplish all the things that we need to know and accomplish in order to bring glory and honor to God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, ready to receive. Ready to receive. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I do hear you. Yes, hallelujah. And so let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would glorify yourself, that you would be lifted up and exalted in the midst of us, even as we are in our various homes and locations where you have positioned us to be for today. And I ask God that as your word comes alive, as your word is revealed and opened up in our lives, that you, God, would begin to move upon us by the Holy Spirit of God. Spirit of God, breathe upon us. Help us, O God, to hear your voice and to follow you. Help us, O God, to know the will of the Lord as we begin to navigate through this new and exciting year. I pray, God, that the newness of life would be manifested among us, that we would be able to have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, that we may be able to receive and then apply and accomplish all that you have imparted to us. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that you are ready to receive today, because that is exactly what God has called us to do. And even as we examine what God has given us, as we look at the very Gospels of Jesus Christ, we know that it begins here in the life of Jesus. And so often, we get into our busy routine and we get going, and we're so busy that we don't take the time to listen or to hear or to see, and we miss out on the details. We miss out on those little things. So often things happen in our lives and we feel as if we kind of know what to do, and we go along as we feel we ought to be going along. And then at some point we get down the road a bit, and then we look back and we realize we should have done something different. And so often we reflect and we think to ourselves, you know, something told me I should have done this, or something told me I should have done that. And it's that reflection, that time when we stop and we realize that God was speaking to us and we were just so caught up that we didn't really grab on to what God was saying in order to do that, so that we could have the better experience, or to navigate around a situation, or even overcome situations and be a blessing or have a better experience in some way or another. And so as a result, we find ourselves being able to, with the hindsight of meditation and reflection, we are able to remember how God really did try to reach out and speak to us. And so how is it that we can experience that looking back and yet miss it when it's right there? And so that comes back to redirecting our passion. We need to redirect our passion so that our passion is not just on going about our daily routine trying to get things done, but that we would be in a place where we are able to receive, where we are ready to receive. Come sit down. This is what God has called us to do, to be able to wait upon the Lord. You know, there is this example in Acts chapter 5, verse 34, that we see in this testimony of this man named Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was a man who, it says here in verse 34, that he was a Pharisee and a teacher of the law. And he was respected by all the people. He stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you purpose to do with these men." And so here he is testifying about the disciples who had been preaching the gospel in the square. And this is what I want to help everyone to understand today. I'd like to talk about is this concept of being able and ready to receive. You see, the men of Israel at the time had a square, or a place where people would be able to come and share their ideas and their thoughts and be able to discuss them. And they would have a podium of such that would be set up, or a seat. And they would be able to sit in this place and begin to share in dialogue. And in the meanwhile, there would be benches and chairs around where those who were also teachers and authorities in various ways and methodologies and theologies and philosophies would come and sit. And they would have these discussions, and then there was an open area for the common everyday person to be able to come and observe and even interact if they felt led to do so. And so this place is where the disciples would often come. Well, we know Paul came, and it was a common place. And this experience was also something that took place in the synagogues. There was a place in the synagogue where people would come and sit and hear the teachers. And we see this in the life of Jesus when he was a young boy. You remember, I'm sure, how Jesus got, well, he didn't get lost, but his parents lost track of him, let's say it that way, in that he made his way to the temple, and it says here in verse 46 of Luke 2, it says, after 3 days, his parents found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And so here is Jesus at 12 years old, sitting in this place, this council area. And in the temple, they had something similar to what they had in the open square, only this was more related to the things of God. And so Jesus was here sitting in this area that was essentially, it had three tiers of seating. There was the primary seat, which is the main seat, which is where the lead theologian or the lead rabbi would sit, and he would sit as the head of this type of council. And then there would be other leaders and teachers who would sit at the next level on benches around. And then there was an open space on the ground where people would sit. And this is how even the schools were set up that in a similar way. And so you had these levels of education and process for learning. And so as you are growing and coming in, you first would begin as someone who sat on the ground. You would sit on the ground and you would be able to listen to the lead teacher who would begin to teach and share his knowledge and his information along with the other educators and teachers and rulers or people who were in authority there with him. And they would have these discussions back and forth, and the people sitting on the ground would be able to ask questions. They would be able to participate in the dialogue and share in this kind of open forum type of experience and atmosphere. And this is where Jesus was found. This is what was taking place when his parents found him. He was essentially like sitting in a Bible study group with interaction. And so here he is, and it says that he was in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And that tells us that Jesus had the ability to understand and relate to the things that were being discussed. And it was probably on a higher level, not at a level that a 12-year-old would be able to interact and have discussion. This is more like a college forum-like forum where you have the lead rabbi and the other priests and scribes and Pharisees there having these discussions over their theologies and ideologies and philosophies. And so as they're sharing in this discussion, Jesus is able to receive. He is able to receive, and he's able to impart. And so in verse 47, it says, so much so that it says, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And so here's Jesus at 12 years old interacting with these religious rulers and leaders as they're having their discussions and conversations and they're teaching. And Jesus at 12 years old is able to relate. And I would submit to you that the reason Jesus was able to relate is because the Spirit of God was in him. He was God in the flesh. He is the Word made flesh. You see, saints of God, you and I need to learn how to receive. We need to learn how to come and sit down. We need to meditate on the Word of God and to allow it to minister to our hearts as it renews our mind so that we are able to grow in the fullness and the power of the Spirit of God. This is what Jesus was applying at 12 years old, at a young age. We see as Jesus started his ministry in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it tells us that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And so here is Jesus at one of his discourses that he established, this one, the Sermon of the Mount discourse. And here he is now coming up to this place, and he's positioning himself. He is positioning himself. Notice that when Jesus saw the crowd gather, they were sitting and coming to hear him, he then went to the top of the mountain. He went up on the mountain so that he was on the higher elevation so that everyone would be able to see him and that they would be looking up. And so as he was sitting, as he positioned himself and sat down, then his disciples came and sat alongside him. Now, this is another picture of the learning experience, of what it means to be ready to receive. You are ready to receive when you come sit down. Jesus came and he sat down. His disciples came and then they sat down. The people, they also came and they sat down. And so everyone was positioning themselves to be ready to receive. Saints of God, you and I need to be ready to receive. We need to position ourselves so that we can sit down, spend time listening to the Word of God, and then reflecting and asking questions, interacting with those who would be able to help us to come to a greater or better understanding, that we would be able to apply what we've learned so that we can be better ambassadors and representatives of the kingdom of God, the truth of God and his word, as well as to be able to accomplish and do all that God has called each and every one of us to do, that we would be effective at the work of the ministry. And so Jesus is here, positioned himself at the top of the mountain in the lead seat, if you will, as they do in the temple. And then the disciples position themselves around as also the other rulers and teachers would sit. And then the ground seat represented the people. This is a picture of what it takes to grow in the Lord, to mature in your walk with God. This is the way of a disciple. A disciple first begins by sitting in the midst of the congregation, sitting in the midst of the people. And as we sit and we receive and we learn and we even ask questions and have interaction together, we learn and we grow until God raises us up to a place of maturity where we have a certain amount of effective life experience. Let me say that again, that where you are having effective life experiences. In other words, where you are able to live in such a way where the Word of God is proving itself to be true, becomes more and more evident in your life. And as you become more of a doer of the word and one who is able to be one who is more effective at experiencing the reality, the truth, and the power of God's word coming to life by the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God, that will cause you to grow and mature in God. And after a certain period of time, you come to a place where you have a trail of effectiveness. You have a life experience that when you look back, it's not going, something told me I should have done this or that, but it says the Holy Spirit showed me and told me and I was able to do it. That ought to be your testimony and your ability. You and I ought to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and be able to follow through and accomplish it, so that the will of God may be obtained and fulfilled in our lives. This is what Jesus was able to do. This is what he was doing. This is why he said to his parents, "Didn't you know I should be about my father's business?" You know, hallelujah, at 12 years old. And so here he is now on the mount with the disciples and the people, and he opens his mouth, as verse 2 says, and he begins to teach them. And he began to say all of the things related that we all are familiar with the Beatitudes and the blessings of God and all of those things that are required. Do you know that blessings don't just come? I know that we prayed through Deuteronomy 28 the other day, and it's so important for us to pray those things in our life. But not just praying those things, we have to actually do the things that God says we need to do in order to experience those things. And that's what prayer is really all about. Prayer is for the purpose of having the wisdom and the strength and the power to actually do what the will of God is. This is what our focus needs to be for 2021. We need to be focused on understanding what the will of the Lord is so that we can accomplish it. And so often people go through their lives for 5 and 10 and 20, 30, 40, even 50 years, and all they do is look back and they talk about all the things that they could have done or they should have done or they would have done if this or if that. Well, this is the time where we have the opportunity to turn things around and begin to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and actually follow through and accomplishment. You know, there's a saying that I say often, and that is good intentions are meant, really don't mean much at all, are not meant for much other than the good intention itself. And no one really cares about people's good intentions. What people are looking for is follow through and accomplishment. You and I need follow through and accomplishment. We need to see the will of God manifested in our lives. We need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Good intentions are good, but they are really good for nothing. It's not really much of anything if you don't follow through and accomplish your good intention. And so the goal of every one of us needs to be to follow through and accomplish the will of God, that the word of God may come alive in us, that the will of God may be accomplished, so that we might be a living witness and a testimony unto God. You see, the Lord, he loves us and he cares us so much that he has made this way for us. And that's why when Jesus began to speak, people wanted to come and hear, and they sat down. They said, "We need to receive what Jesus had to say." And the reason they were willing to listen to Jesus is not because he was some great orator or speaker, but it was because the power of God was working in his life. You see, it's the power of God, the things that Jesus actually accomplished, the things that he actually did that caused the people to want to be with Jesus. I would submit to you, if Jesus had not accomplished what he did on the cross, none of us would think anything of the whole idea of coming to Christ. And because Jesus did all that he did, it is those things that he did that are the witness and the testimony as to the reality of it and the truth of the Word of God. And so it is the same for you and I. It is the same that we need to accomplish in that we have to fulfill the will of God. We must follow through and accomplish and do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. So in Mark chapter 9, we see once again that Jesus is with his disciples. And in verse 35, it says that sitting down, he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And so Jesus, again, sitting down. And that means he's positioned himself in a place where he is ready to inspire, to breathe life into, to teach, to bring correction, and to enable those who are ready to receive and to grow and mature and to become more effective at living the Christian life. You and I ought to become more and more effective at being the people of God that God has called us to be than we have ever been before. We should be increasing in our ability to reflect the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And so, sitting down, he calls the 12 and he says, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And that is so important because so often in today's society, we see this hierarchy of life in that the higher up you go, the more you are to be served. But God's kingdom is the opposite. The higher up you go, the more of a servant you must be. And this is the principle that really confounds the world. It's the opposite of what humanity can relate to and understand. It is because it is a kingdom principle. And so verse 36 says, taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, and this is an example that Jesus gave here in verse 37, he says, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. Hallelujah. That is God the Father. And you and I have to understand that we are not just here in our own strength. We are not just living according to our own selves, but we are here as representatives as the one who sent us. Jesus is the one who sent us. He said, even as the Father sent me, so send I you. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and enabling them in the ways of God. This is what our calling is. This is what our purpose is. You and I have to be able to come even as a child. What does it tell us when he's saying, come as a child? When you think of a child comes. And I think of my own children and grandchildren. They come and they are ready to receive. They're excited to come. And when they come, you scoop them up. You scoop them up and you love on them and you encourage them and you teach them things and you tell them things that they need to know. And when they're going about the things that they do, you give them instructions along the way. And there are times, many times actually, where you say, don't do that, don't do this, or don't touch that, or don't go over there, stay over here, do this or do that. And we give little adjustments and we tweak them as they go about what they do so they can learn as they navigate through life. This is what Jesus is doing for you and I. He is navigating us through life. He is enabling us to receive. I pray that as God is bringing navigation and direction into your life, that you are able to receive it. He says, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. Saints of God, I pray that you are receiving this word today. I pray that you are receiving as a child, that you are able to understand how important it is to come and sit down to receive the word of God and to be able to reflect and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. I pray that you are able to navigate and overcome. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, it says Jesus was ordering the people to sit down on the grass. And he then takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and he broke the bread. Breaking the bread, the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. Well, I pray that you're able to see this picture here. Can you envision this? Here is Jesus, and he's telling the people to sit down on the grass. He's telling them that they need to become ready to receive. Sitting down means you're ready to receive. You're ready to interact in the dialogue and the exchange. You see, this is a picture of a relationship with God. As you and I begin to interact with God, we must learn how to humble ourselves. We must learn how to sit down and be able to position ourselves with a heart and a mind of expectation. We should be looking to hear from God. We ought to be expecting God to speak to us. So often we go through our life and our day and our experiences, and we're not really expecting God to speak to us. That's why when the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaks to us, even though we might hear it, it kind of goes right on by us, and we continue to process our own thoughts as they develop in our minds. And this is why it's so important to make these little tweaks and adjustments so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We need to learn how to sit in a spiritual sense, not just in a physical sense, so that we're always in a state of mind where we're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And as you and I grow in our walk with God, we are learning. I don't know about you, but I've said it many times myself. Every time I've heard that still small voice and I missed it and I didn't actually follow through with it, I find myself saying, next time I'm going to catch that. Next time I'm going to hear that voice. Next time I'm going to actually grab onto it and do it. And that becomes a quest in your life. That becomes your goal, to hear that voice, to recognize it and say, ah, this is what God is calling me to do. This is what the Spirit of the Lord wants me to do. And so this is a picture of that experience. Here is Jesus with the disciples and the people, and we're all familiar with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Praise the Lord, hi. And so we know how important it is in Jesus' ministry to be able to see and experience this. Jesus, as he positioned the people, the first thing we noticed is that the people had to look up. You see, when you humble yourself and you're seated, you are positioned in a place where you have to look up. You and I have to always be looking up. We must always be looking to God. We must always be looking at Jesus. What is it that he is about to say? What is it that he is about to do? I can assure you that it will benefit you when the time comes. And so Jesus took these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I don't think everybody there knew what was going on. I don't think they could see what was really happening. Jesus and this young man who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish, those who had it there, they knew what was going on. The disciples knew. Everyone on the inside knew what was happening because they were close to Jesus. And I would submit to you that when the closer you are to Jesus, the more you will see and know and understand. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you will be able to see and know the move of God. You will be able to see even in advance what is about to happen. That's why serving God is so awesome. He prepares us so that we can be ready for what is about to happen. We can even be a part of the process of the thing that is about to happen. That's what Jesus enables his disciples to do. And that is why you and I need to follow closely with Jesus. Stay true to his word. Be close to him. Always be in a state of mind where you're ready to hear and listen and do what the will of the Lord is. Let us be doers of the word. And so Jesus, he then blesses the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and then he begins to give it out amongst the disciples. And he gives the disciples everything that they need to feed the people. This is what a good leader does, a good teacher will do. He gives his students, or those who are being raised up under his tutelage, those who are under his instruction, those who are under his care, are being equipped for the purpose of feeding the people, bringing what the people need at the time. You see, Jesus wasn't just giving out food. He wasn't running some sort of restaurant business, but what he was doing was meeting a specific need. The people had been with Jesus all day, and there was a long time that they had been together, and they had not eaten. There was a need, a physical need, for the people to eat, and Jesus was aware of this. God is aware of you and I's physical needs. He is aware of the things that we need in order to live and survive and to do well in life. All of the provisions that we require, God has already known that and is making provision for it. And so as we go into this new year of 2021, understand that God is your source of provision. God is the one who is able to meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Jesus blessed this food and he fed thousands of people. This passage tells us that he gave the small amount of food, 5 loaves and 2 fish, to the disciples, broke it up, and there were 12 of them. And so he took 5 and 2 and divided it amongst the 12, and then the 12 took it after it was blessed and then fed the multitudes. Saints of God, you and I are a part of the multitude. We are a part of the blessing of God. We are in a position where we have received of the blessing of God. I pray that you are receiving the blessing of God today, that you are operating in the strength of God today, in the fullness of the anointing, of the power of God, under the move of God, by the Spirit of God, so that the glory of God can be lifted up in your life, that you might be a living disciple, a witness, a testimony of the things of God. This is what Jesus was doing in the lives of his followers. The people were being built up into discipleship, and the disciples were being built up into headship and leadership, as the book of Revelation says, the angels of the churches, and the pastors and the evangelists and those who are going out into the world. And this is the process that God has established in our lives. And you and I are a part of that process. In Matthew 26, verse 38, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.'" Here's Jesus now as he is preparing to go to the cross. Here he is there with his disciples. And he first asked them to come with him that they might pray. And he asked them to sit and wait while he moved on a little further where he began to pray. And he's letting them know where his heart is and how he is feeling. Notice it says, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." And so he says, "Remain here." And some translations say, "Sit here" or "Wait here and keep watch with me." This is another purpose for sitting down. we must learn how to wait on God, how to remain in God's presence, standing in the gap. Jesus is asking the disciples to stand in the gap, to be intercessing and interceding with and for him as he is going off to pray. He just needed them to be with him. Sometimes you and I need someone to just be there. We just need someone to just be with us. We need them to be able to keep watch. That means to pay attention, to stay awake, to be aware of what's happening. Jesus knew they were coming for him. He knew that it was just a matter of time before he would be arrested. And so he says to the disciples to keep watch. You and I need to learn how to keep watch. We need to know how to pay attention to what is going on in the world around us so that we are able to pray and intercede so that we can be ready when he comes. As you know, when the various soldiers came to take Jesus away, the police of the time, of the temple guards, when they came to take Jesus away, the disciples were not really prepared. They weren't ready. They were caught off guard. They didn't know what to do. They started responding and reacting in various ways. And they eventually scattered and they did things that they regretted. And even Peter chopped off the ear of one of the guards and guardsmen who came. And Jesus had to heal him and put it back. And then Jesus had to bring further instruction and direction to help the disciples deal with the situation. You see, this is why we must learn how to wait on the Lord, why we must learn how to keep watch so that we can be in the state of mind and of a right positioning so that we can be ready for the things to come. God wants us always to be ready. He prepares us for what is coming. And this is the day of preparation for the things that are coming in 2021. I pray that you are able to follow these directions that Jesus gave the disciples. He said, remain here and keep watch with me. The final principle here is that you're not alone. Whenever you are keeping watch, you're doing so in the presence of God, in the Spirit of God. God is with you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. It's the Spirit of God that is always at work. So often I say to the Lord, are you there, Lord? Are you there, God? Oh, God, are you still with me? And the anointing of the Spirit of God begins to quicken within me. I feel, hallelujah, whoo, I feel the anointing of the Spirit of God. It's that little check that says, oh, yes, I am with you. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm able to keep watch. I'm able to go just a little bit more, a little bit further. And I have the strength, the power, the fortitude, the unctioning, the zeal, and the stirring that I need so that I can come not just in my own strength, but in the volume of the book, in the power of the Spirit, of the magnitude of the Word of God as it is coming alive within me, as it makes me and quickens me so that I can be an example of the Word made flesh, even as Jesus was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in Ephesians 2 verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Saints of God, do you catch this? It says that when we were dead in our transgressions, when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. He is with us, saints of God. You can keep watch with him. Like Jesus said to the disciples, keep watch with me. You and I have to always stay close to Jesus. Keep watch with Jesus. Ask God to reveal himself, to show you things, to teach you, to enable you, to give you little senses of direction and navigation. Oh, I can tell you, when you're not sure, check in with the Master. go back to the Word of God and allow God to speak to you and show you. I've seen little kids so often, I'm sure you've seen this, when they go to do something, they're not quite sure whether or not it's okay for them to do it or not. And sometimes they go into something that they know they really shouldn't be doing. And they will turn around and look to see if you're watching. They're looking to see if anybody is watching because they're hesitating, because they're expecting some form of direction or correction in their life. You and I need that pause like a child. You and I need to be able to come to Jesus as a child when we're not sure, when we're in a place where it seems like we know we need to have pause and we need to check in with the Savior, check in with the Lord our God, check in to the Word of God to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do, that we are in alignment with the Word of God, with the truth of God. Because it is by grace that God saves us. Even after we make mistakes over and over and over again, how many times have you heard that still small voice and not followed through and accomplished what it was that the Spirit of God was saying to do? Yet God gives us a chance again and again and again. That is the grace of God. That is what God has done in our lives. That is what He is doing in our lives. And so even when we were dead in our transgressions, we were made alive with Christ, with Him. It's you and Jesus, me and Jesus. You see, we have the Lord. And the Lord says, I have sent you the Comforter, the Spirit of God, and He dwells within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is powerful. This is awesome. This is what God is doing in our lives. He's raised us up. He has positioned us, and we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. You see, the Father is on the throne, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we are with Him. We are in the midst of Him, and we are able to exchange. You see, in Revelations, it talks about how we will be even in the midst of the angels, and the angels will be amongst the congregation, and we will be seated with Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Father will be on His throne, and we will be able to share and exchange the testimonies of the Lord and the things of God and the glory of God. And the angels will be there with the worthy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And all of the host of heaven will be praising Him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And we can see this grand image and a picture of the glorious works and manifestations of the Spirit of God as God goes to work in the heavenly places. You and I have a seat there. We have a place there. God has prepared us that we might be there with Him. It says in verse 7, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surprising riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There is no kinder act that God can give to those who are loved by Him than the opportunity to sit with Him in heavenly places. Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I want to sit with Him in heavenly places. I want to experience His glory, the fullness of God, the move of His Spirit in the midst, the angelic hosts with the cherubim and the seraphim, and all of the heavenly angels that are there, and they are singing and worshiping and glorifying God. What a powerful place to be. Oh, saints of God, we have a place there. We have a place there. And I pray that you know that you have been born of the Spirit of God, that you have been renewed and revived in the Spirit of God. I pray that you understand just how important it is to come sit down, just to be able to experience God in the fullness of His glory. You see, Mark 9:35 says of Jesus sitting down, He called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, He shall be last of all and servant of all. You and I are called to be servants of the Most High God. We are called to be representatives of the kingdom of God. It begins with sitting down. It begins with being in that place where the Spirit of God is at work in the midst of your heart and in your life. It begins with a desire to hear and listen to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord, that the Word of God would be something stirring within you, that you would be hungry for it. You would meditate on it day and night, that it would be food for your very soul, so that in times of challenges and difficulties, you will be well prepared to manage and deal with the situation, because you have been keeping watch. Not just watch alone, but you have been watching with Jesus. You have there spent time there with Jesus, humbled even as a child, being able to go through life, making the necessary changes and adjustments as you walk in the Word of God, in the presence of God, under the direction of the Spirit of God. I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would cause you to hunger for more of God, that you would be able to sit down meditating on His Word day and night and allowing it to come alive in the midst of you, that the fullness of His glory and His power would be able to exemplify itself in the midst of your life. Oh, I pray that you know the excitement of the Lord, the zeal of the Spirit stirring within you, so that no matter what you face in 2021, you will know that you are keeping watch and you are prepared, because you are not alone. The Spirit of God is with you, and you are not in fear or anxiety, but you are operating in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you know that there is a place being prepared for you, that you have a seat at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. You will be in the midst of the presence of God, of the Spirit of God. The glory of God will be moving and working in the midst of you, and you are able to receive today because you have a down payment known as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, that is working within you as confirmation of God's anointing, as you have placed faith and trust in the living Word of God. And because the Word of God is alive and it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it breathes life into you. You are able to come and sit down in the peace of God, in the presence of God, in the Spirit of God, in the power of God. As you are operating in the fullness of God, He enables you to be ready to receive. I pray that you are ready to receive today. Let us receive together as we progress through this year of 2021 in Jesus' name. Let us be ready to receive today as the glory of God magnifies Himself, as we faithfully apply kingdom principles and the life applications of the Word of God, that the things of God would be able to be manifested among us in this new year, afresh and anew, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 And amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I pray that you Hallelujah. Are ready to receive today. I pray that you are able to redirect your passion, and that you are ready to sit at the Master's feet. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is operating in the midst of you as you are in a mindset and in a state of receiving. God has called us to be ready to receive. God has called us to be able to sit even as the disciples sat, that we would be able to sit at His feet, even as those who gathered around, even the multitudes as they received from Jesus, even as those who were able to spend time with Jesus. So often, as we have seen in the Word of God, we have seen that sitting at the Master's feet is a sign that we are ready to receive. I pray that you are ready to receive today, that you are ready to receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.
Jesus, stay with me. He said, come on in, take a seat. I may take a seat. I made room for you and me. Beverly, Jesus, stay with me.
Come on in, say.
Come on in and take a seat. I made room for you and me.
Invited into your life, and that you want him to stay with you. I want him to stay with me. I love this song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like the whoo, whoo, whoo. Hallelujah. That Jesus can stay with me. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to stay with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Y'all have to give me a minute. I pray that you are ready to receive today. I pray that you have received today and that the Spirit of the Lord has ministered to your heart and your soul, that new life has been imparted to you, that you have been enabled to sit down at the Master's feet, ready to receive. Redirect your passion as we begin this new year and allow the Spirit of the Lord to manifest himself in your life. Let him train you and condition you in the ways of the Lord so that you may rightly apply the word of truth in your life. Well, Father, we thank you, O God. We thank you, Lord, for all that our hearts have felt and for our renewed minds. We thank you for the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. We thank you, Lord God, for the new opportunities to come. We thank you, Lord, for the ability
to sit at your feet, that you have granted us that we might be able to be molded and shaped by your word, by your truth, that your will may be accomplished and that you may be lifted up and exalted and even glorified through our lives as we yield and surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' powerful name, we thank you, oh God, for all these things. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Come sit down, everybody. Let's redirect our passion as we are ready to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time. Sing that chorus.
Come on in. Take a seat. I made room for you and me. Never leave. Jesus, stay with me.
Come on in.
Come on in. Take a seat. I made room for you and me.
Stay with me, come on in,
come on in and take a seat, 'cause I made room.